Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know.
On 92.9 FM ESPN, today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Memphis, what's poppin'? It's Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. If you don't know me, I'm the Memphis Grizzlies basketball beat writer over at the Daily Memphian. Jeff is on vacation, but not really on vacation because he comes on the radio every single
morning.
Day. The guy's just the hardest working man in the business. It's ridiculous. And we're going to talk to him in just a second right off the top. But first, I'll set up the show. We're going to have Jeff on first. Like I said, Gary Parrish, GP at 925. I'll ask him about Imoni Bates, who committed to Michigan State yesterday. At 10 o'clock, we'll have Chris Harrington. We'll talk about the Grizzlies schedule again. I mean, what else are we going to talk about? It's all about the Grizzlies schedule right now. At 10:25, we'll get into some more basketball. Then we'll do the one story you've been waiting for, and we will get on out of here. But first, Jeff Calkins. Jeff, what's going on?
I'm good. By the way, I want to give a shout out to. You see, we have a new sports editor.
We do have a new sports editor.
Yeah. First of all, Clay Bailey, who has been our sports editor, has been incredible over at the Daily Memphian. And and he's going to be doing suburbs. But we have a new sports editor, Elaine Sung. And now, by the way, there's been a lot of people have noticed over the years that there's not enough. And this is absolutely true. Women in sports media in Memphis. Now, the television stations have had them, right? Most recently we had Jessica Benson as a regular on this show, which I appreciated until she had to duck out. But you had Danielle on last week, right? Danielle is our new Memphis Tiger basketball beat writer, and now Elaine Sung is our new sports editor.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have maybe things will only be looking up from here. So anyway, that was fun.
I'm impressed. I knew Danielle ahead of time from my time working in Louisville at the Courier Journal, and she's really good. Like, Memphis fans are going to love her. It's impossible to not like the work that she does because she's just really, really talented, really smart. I mean, she went to Missouri for journalism school. You got to be the best to go there. So, she's just really, really good at her job. I haven't met Elaine yet, but her resume is really impressive. You know, I've been all over the place, it seems, as a sports editor. And Clay has been the best boss I've ever had, so she's got some big time shoes to fill. I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this thing goes.
And has our man Stevie started? Stevie Johnson?
Yeah, he started. Yep.
And he has started while I'm on vacation. Anyway. So before we get to the Grizzlies, and your piece, I think we should talk about, because you asked me yesterday if you think the Grizzlies are in better position than they would have been had they actually played the full season. And now you've done the research to give us the answer to that, and we will get that in a moment. But before we do that, I wanted to confess, I've actually wondered about talking about this on the radio, because there are some things that you talk about in your personal life that seem charming or whatever, or like oddly, you know. But this one is, I just wonder, like, at some point do you cross the border into crazy? And so here's what I've been doing. In addition to being on vacation in northern Michigan, I have these dogs, these Bernese Mountain dogs, right? And so 7 years ago, I had a very famously, I had a litter of puppies. It was during the playoff run when the Grizzlies went deep in, you know, Western Conference Finals. And I would tweet out pictures of a puppy. It was just became a thing. Anyway, I have this dog, Willow. And I've decided all these years later, and mind you, all of the people who think you should rescue dogs are going to hate me now. I agree, you should rescue dogs. I'm fully supportive of rescuing dogs. But anyway, I'm going to get my dog knocked up. I'm trying to get Willow knocked up to have another litter of puppies. And in order to get a dog knocked up responsibly, you would think, well, you just like put the dog together with a boy dog and romance will naturally follow, right? You would think that's how it would work. If you're going to be a responsible breeder of a dog, the stuff that these, it's like the Best in Show people, the stuff that they have you do is crazy. So Willow has so far had her hips x-rayed, her elbows x-rayed, an eye test, a heart test, a thyroid test, I think, and then two different genetic tests. Like in Mississippi, you just get in the back seat. And, you know, with these dogs, you, like, have to – seven different screening tests. But here's the thing.
I did less than have my wife inseminated.
What is this? Okay.
Now, but, okay, so then you find the right boy, okay? So the boy is a champion Bernese Mountain Dog, and he's located in your old town of Louisville, okay? That's where he's located. And so I have been taking Willow every morning to get a progesterone test for $100 a throw, mind you, to see when she is ovulating. So I'm going to make the 8-hour drive to Louisville to have her knocked up and turn around and drive back to northern Michigan. And so today I thought was going to be the day, but her progesterone level is still too low. So I'm headed back to our lake house.
Oh, but, no.
Okay.
Wait, so you're not at the lake?
He's back.
I am at the lake, but yesterday morning I did the same thing. I actually talked to you from, like, you know, I go, I get the progesterone test, and then if it's a 7 or whatever, it's a go. If it's high enough, then I'm planning to drive 8 hours to Louisville for sex. Not for me, for the dog. 8 hours to Louisville for sex. And then and then drive immediately 8 hours back to finish my vacation. I thought I was going to do it yesterday. I thought I was going to do it today. Now it appears I'm going to be doing it tomorrow. Do you think 8 hours is too far to drive for sex? For your dog.
For your dog.
Yes.
For your dog.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a pet right now, but I'm not driving 8 hours to get my dog knocked up. No, I like
to get your dog knocked up.
Well, I got a question. So Willow, is Willow the one that always brings the crap to you in your house?
Willow is the one who always brings things to me. Yeah.
So has she suggested that she wants to get knocked up? Is that what's going on here?
Has she suggested? It's really like this isn't something, you know. Maybe a more open family could have these conversations with their pet, but we don't really have conversations about whether she wants to get, like, when do you have that talk with your dog?
What could your dog bring you to even suggest?
Bring a dildo to me. Right, exactly.
All right.
I've taken pictures of her bringing me a book, bringing me my shoes, bringing me a dog bowl, bringing me an empty snack box, but if she showed up with a sex toy.
Well, that will be the day when I cancel you on Twitter. You're blocked if I ever see that.
She has not indicated that she wants to be a mother. she has not indicated that she wants to be a mother. Although, when they get to be, when they're in heat and they get to be a certain, then they kind of indicate. Yeah, I mean, they're kind of flirty with other dogs. Let's just say that, you know. But no, it's not really her choice. I mean, honestly, you could argue that this is rape, right? I'm taking her to Louisville. She doesn't have any choice in the matter. I'm picking out the dude. He just happens to be good looking, right? And and there's no romance involved. There's no foreplay. It's just, you know, wham bam. And then I'm headed back. And I hope there's little puppies on the way. Anyway, you would think it wouldn't be this complicated. That dogs have been having puppies for years and years and years without this kind of level of chemical assistance. But anyway, so there you go. That's what I've been doing. And now I'm headed back to the lake, but we'll be back at the vets tomorrow morning getting another progesterone test to see if she is going to be with child.
Will you keep any of the puppies?
I'll keep one, yeah. Well, first of all, I tried to get Libby, the last one, knocked up three different times. I don't know if I told you this story. So what happened was I tried to get her knocked up twice, and then it just wasn't working. So the third time, I knew the playoffs were coming. And, like, that's not the perfect time to have puppies when the playoffs are coming, right? So, but I knew they were coming. But, like, the last two times it hadn't worked, getting her knocked up. So, and I was actually taking my parents on a cruise. So I just said, fine, I'll just leave her off at this place, and I'll take my parents on a cruise, and then I'll pick her up. And she won't get pregnant anyway because it hasn't happened. So if the playoffs are coming, and even if the playoffs arrive, the Grizzlies are going to be knocked out in the first round because they're, you know, whatever. They're not favored. So I'm on a cruise in the Gulf of Mexico. I got a pick. My breeder sends me a message. And I say, oh, well, this is interesting. An update from my breeder of the dog. I click on it, and there's a picture of the dog actually having sex. Like looking over her shoulder at me. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't need this. It's like doggy porn sent over international, you know, whatever, on
that's
a cruise
foul.
Ship.
Yeah, no.
It was terrible.
Nobody needed that image this morning, Jeff.
I couldn't unsee it, right. And I think the subject line was success, right? And so I'm like, what does success look like? Ah, that's what it looks like. Anyway, then I'm still figuring she's not going to have puppies. She does, like a week or 2 days before the playoffs begin. And then I said, well, that's no problem. Like, I'll be able to hang with the puppies. I'll hire someone. And I hired these wonderful folks to help watch the puppies for $10 an hour. And I said, that'll be no problem. I'll just have them. They'll come over and stay at my house and watch the puppies. And the Grizzlies just kept winning round after round after
well,
round.
Do you know what this means, Jeff?
It means they're going on a deep playoff run.
This means the Grizzlies are going to beat the Lakers. You heard it here first. Because Willow is going to have puppies, the Grizzlies are going to the Western Conference Finals.
The prognosticating dog.
Right?
Did we lose Calkins?
Jeff? Is he here?
And he's driving through a dead spot.
Uh-oh.
All right, I'll effort him back.
Well, what we were going to talk about earlier, which he was eventually going to get into, because I have no more interest in talking about dogs, you know, getting knocked up and whatever. I have no experience when it comes to that. Was my story that I wrote over at the Daily Memphian yesterday. It published in later at night, but it's up now, and you can read it over at the Daily Memphian.
Let's talk about that.
Oh,
let's talk about you. What
he's
you
back.
Discover?
What are you doing?
My phone dropped. I'm driving from Northern Michigan. The service isn't perfect. Tell me what you discovered about. You asked me. I think this is better off. They have better odds of actually making the playoffs now than they would have otherwise.
I think so. I think the answer to that is probably yes, based off of the computer models. And this is what Harrington said to me yesterday as well. When you look at it, they're not asking the Grizzlies to do anything crazy. They're literally just asking for some validation here to what their record already is. 5-7 combined record against teams they're going to play this year. Win percentage of 41.67% translates to 3-5 roughly. So you go 3-5, which is not a crazy ask and is probably the most realistic outcome for the Grizzlies if you look at the rest of their schedule. and you're the 8 seed in a play-in, most likely, unless the Pelicans go crazy and go 8-0 or 7-1. And so now the question is, okay, are the Pelicans going to go 8-0 or 7-1? And then I sort of went through their schedule and looked at some of their games and basically discovered that the Pelicans, even if they're favored in every single game the rest of the way, except for they probably won't be favored against the Clippers, this season, even as a favorite, I know they were missing Zion for part of the season, but again, they weren't that impressive when they had him. Their win-loss record as a favorite, just 17-12. That doesn't impress me. Like, that suggests to me that they are probably going to lose one or two games that they're supposed to win in Orlando. And therefore, when you consider all these things, I think Memphis has, it makes a lot of sense. I know there was a story over at The Ringer that said 87% chance to hold on to that number 8 spot. That sounds about right to me. And I think that's a better chance than if they would have finished out the regular season. So I think the Grizzlies actually should be happy that it worked out this way. What do you think?
I want to go over a couple of those numbers real quick. You said the Grizzlies' record against the teams that they will play, against the 8 teams that they're going to play, what's their record during the regular season against them?
5-7.
5-7. 41. What's the winning percentage? They're 41% winning.
41.67%.
Which translates to 3-5. So if they roughly just do what they've been doing, they're 3-5. Then for the Pelicans, how many of the Pelicans' 8 games will they be favored?
I would predict that they're going to be favored in 7 of them, most likely.
In 7 of the 8 games, they will be favored. It's interesting because, I mean, the Grizzlies, there is this fear that the Pelicans are going to wake up and be this power, right? Like that they're going to come back, they're going to be fully restored, Zion's going to be in shit, whatever, and they're going to come out and be this power that could go 7-1. But I don't know that any team's going to go 7-1. Like, I think the level of basketball is going to be uneven for any team. Like, you could look good one day, bad the next. It strikes me as unlikely that any of these teams are going to go 7-1. As you point out, they certainly didn't do it through the regular season. People might look at Portland or look at New Orleans and say, well, what if they are this team we imagined them to be, but they haven't been that team all year long. Neither of those teams have been that team all year long. So, to me, the danger is that the Grizzlies to the 9 slot, right? And then I don't like their chances to win 2 in a row against one of these teams. And I think that is the danger. What are the betting numbers? What's the betting odds on the Grizzlies to make? Do we have betting odds on Grizzlies to make the playoffs? Or
yes.
Okay, what's the betting odds for the Grizzlies to make the playoffs?
The betting odds on the Grizzlies to make the playoffs and be the number 8 seed, -120, Memphis is the favorite. So, and this is the way I put it. In other words, if you bet $12, you win 10. So it pays out $22. And then the Pelicans are next at +275. Portland is after them at +400. And the Kings at +1200. San Antonio and Phoenix are huge underdogs, +5,000, +20,000. They have no chance. So, even Vegas likes the Grizzlies. I mean, it's funny to see the way that some of these players react in the fan base, and I love the chip on the shoulder mentality. Don't get me wrong. I actually really enjoy the fact that Grizzlies fans feel like they're always going to get screwed, and, you know, and Ja Morant is tweeting beat the odds, even though, as I suggested in the story, the odds are actually very much in their favor, and they probably got it easier than we expected here, in my opinion, based off of the numbers.
Yeah, let's be honest. Every team tries to play that card, even if it's ridiculous. You know, Ohio State will say, whoever would have imagined that we could, no one, you know. But at least in the Grizzlies' case, I do think it's basically true. Even if the betting odds are in their favor, and as you've established, they clearly are. The conversation, the national conversation, is not in their favor. There are those who will point out, the Grizzlies have the easiest time here, and they are the favorites, etc. But you do feel like able to play the chip on the shoulder card because all of the national conversation is about Zion and the Pelicans. And so even though they are not the favorites, they're certainly the chosen team, right? And so I think that even if that's the favorite team, they're the team that people want. And so you are able to cast yourself as the team that's going to, you know, tick people off and be the spoiler, even if you'll be the spoiler, even if you're not the underdog.
Yeah, I agree. It is funny how it works, though, right? Like, if you can't complain about the actual way that this is set up, and it's very fair for the Grizzlies. If there's one thing Grizzlies fans should be allowed to point out, is that it doesn't matter. Like, they are always overlooked in terms of just the talking and the conversation that takes place on ESPN during the schedule release show. It's immediately after the schedule's released and everybody's doing their picks, you just start to see Pelicans, 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 Blazers, Pelicans, Pelicans. It's like, okay, well, if they get respect from Vegas, I guess that counts the most. But from these personalities, it doesn't seem like they get a whole lot. Do you think?
No, I agree with that. And the good news is that does enable them to have. And yeah, here's the other good news. If they into the team that people think they might be able to turn into, they will get that conversation over the next 5 years. You know, this will change. They will ultimately get the kind of regard that they don't get, and they'll get the buzz, all of that.
Right.
Until they got Zion, and then people love the city of New Orleans. They were chosen because Zion's there. And if the Grizzlies emerge as this potent force, then people will ultimately be talking about the Grizzlies. Before you finish with me and move on to GP, I know Gary Parrish is coming up next, and then Chris Harrington. Is there a sense that today could be the day? Where are we on the timing? At first he said next week, then he took down the next week. But next week is now this week. Where are we thinking with Musa and the Memphis Tiger basketball program?
From what I've heard from people around the program, I think a decision is coming pretty soon. This whole recruitment has been pretty close to the vest here, so I don't want to go on the record and say a specific day quite yet, but I would not be surprised if the decision does come pretty soon for Musa Cisse. I mean... Again, it could get pushed back.
Coin flip? Are we coin flip here? What are we thinking?
I might get into this a little bit later, but I think it just depends on who you ask is kind of the situation. Memphis feels really good about it, I can tell you that. So, and it makes a lot of sense that he would want to play for Memphis, given that he's, you know, been here and been around all these guys in this gym all the time. Obviously, that doesn't hurt, but
it is funny. You would think at this time, in the midst of a pandemic, it's easier to go to stay at a place, right, than you go to a new place. And that's not the determining factor, I'm sure. But if you're at a place, you feel like you're making progress. It seems to me to be easier just to, rather in the midst of a pandemic, move to New Orleans, to Louisiana. It seems to be would be easier to do that. And then, of course, there's the question of whether whatever happens, there will be a season, you know, and we will get to that ultimately. It's funny, though. Like, there's a small college in Massachusetts called Williams College. Who went there? There was this GM who went there. Steinbrenner went there, honestly. But anyways, it's a very good – it's sort of like Rhodes, right? And it's a very – it's an elite college. They announced yesterday that they are not going to have fall sports. They just said, we're not going to have fall sports. And let me ask you this. If it weren't for the money involved with big-time sports, isn't that what everyone would do? Like, they just say, we're not going to do it. I actually do firmly believe that. If it weren't for the fact that there was so much money involved and I guess the professional careers of football players, if it weren't for the professionalism level, you just say, we're not going to do college sports, right? We don't need these teams traveling around, coming in contact with other players, like whatever. We wouldn't do that, bringing it back to our campus. I honestly don't know why Rhodes is doing fall sports. Like, why would you do that? Why would you travel? Don't you think that's true? Like,
no, I think that's true. But I at the same time, it's just not a reality. So
no, it's still not a reality. They have to have. It's the same reason you have to have college meet, right? Like, you have to, or these places are going to go bankrupt. So you have to have the University of Memphis have in-person classes, and you have to have fall sports, because otherwise these programs are going to go, have huge losses. And so you need the TV money. It is the reality that we have, but it is interesting. What we really need is schools to open. I don't know if you saw this, the Arizona pushed so the governor of Arizona has been one of these dudes who, like, until last week would block cities for having their own mask ordinance, right? He would, no city, you cannot have your own mask ordinance because we believe in freedom and we're opening up Arizona and just come out and play and whatever. Well, now he's closed bars, he's closed water parks, that's what happens. You can say you want to do it all you want, and what happens is that then the virus shuts it down for you. And he just announced that the openings of schools, which was, we're getting there. Like, the opening of schools was supposed to happen in, like, the first week in Arizona. So he just pushed it back for 10 days or something like that to whatever. We're already, like, the runway for starting up, like, we've been talking about college football as a theoretical thing. We're only a month away. We're not very far away now. It's no longer, pretty soon it's not going to be theoretical. And I just don't know what all these places are going to do. Like, I desperately want football. Even more than that, I desperately want our schools, our high schools and our elementary schools and our middle schools to be open. So all that hangs in the balance, too.
I think it'll happen just simply because we don't have another choice. So
there's no choice.
Yeah, I think it's all eventually going to play out the way we all expected. But thanks, Jeff, for joining us as always. Yep. When I come back, I'll be joined by GP. We'll ask him about the number one sophomore in the country committing to Michigan State yesterday. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Confidence, peace of mind, a way forward. During tough times, these are the things we all want. And with the personalized help of a Trustmark relationship manager, it's something we can find together. That's why Trustmark is standing by business owners. No matter what challenges you may be facing, we are here with a suite of financial services to help you find a path forward. Learn more at trustmark.com/business.
There are a number of ways to know when you need a new roof. Maybe the shingles are curled or cracked. Maybe a storm causes multiple leaks. Just the look of a worn roof can keep you from selling your home. This is Jeff Calkins, and I want to tell you about Bennett Roofing, a locally owned, licensed, and insured company that understands that your roof is a big investment. So from beginning to end, they'll let you know everything to expect and how your beautiful new roof is going to look when it's done. So contact the folks I'd contact by going to BennettRoofingMemphis.com or calling 359-9708. That's 359-9708.
Morgan & Morgan, dial #529 on your cell phone. Pound law, that's all.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger, with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
Think about this little bicycle bell. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business, one of thousands on eBay, powered by millions of people, all working to get you exactly what you want. That's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Hey, couch surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen, yes, you Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or cancel?
So meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Limitations apply.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater. Hey, you want anything? Popcorn? Soda? No, nothing.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World. Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Learn the Potter's Wheel with today's Perks Deal. A private pottery lesson for two at Seize the Clay for only $100. Get your deal today at GetMyPerks.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities. Making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. I now have Gary Parrish on the line. Gary, what's going on, man?
Just trying to get through the day. You all right?
I'm good. Hosting your show last week was pretty easy. We had enough news coming in. We got not much today, to be honest with you.
You better be in the baseball players opting out of the 2020 season, or else you're stuck in a tough place.
It's pretty brutal. But we did have recruiting news yesterday, so that's good. We had Imani Bates commit to Michigan State. Number one player everyone thinks is going to be the next big-time great NBA star. What do you think about that?
It's an interesting and important development. I mean, he really is a special talent. I, like most, I think, are hesitant to call somebody. I'm hesitant to call somebody the next LeBron James because, like, what does that even mean? One of the two best players in the history of the sport? Like, that's an incredibly ridiculous bar to set. So when somebody says, he's the next LeBron, or even the next KD, I would aim lower than that just to be responsible. But I will say this. He looks like the next great thing. Like, at this age, in this moment, Imani Bates looks like the type of person who could be a Hall of Fame basketball player. For people unfamiliar, he's a 6'9 wing, gets often compared to LeBron because he is routinely labeled as the best high school prospect since LeBron James. But when you watch him play, he doesn't play like LeBron James. He doesn't look like LeBron James. He plays like Kevin Durant. He looks like Kevin Durant. Long, thin, incredible shot creator, incredible shot maker. And for much of his high school career, even though it's only 2 years in the book, people have assumed that he would never play college basketball because the one-and-done rule, it had been reported for more than a year, was supposed to be gone by 2022. But that is something that has to be handled in CBA negotiations, and they just never made any progress on that, which is among the reasons they created this new G League program to lure some of the elite prospects into it, because they couldn't get the one-and-done rule done away with. It doesn't appear anytime soon. And so my point is that suddenly, with the one-and-done rule looking like it's going to still be in place in 2022, and name, image, and likeness rights coming into play before Imani Bates theoretically enrolls at Michigan State, I think there's a very good chance, I'd put it well over 50%, that he actually does play college basketball. And that's a big turnaround, you know, from where we were just last summer, because at Peach Jam last summer, you know, he would play and no college coaches would be there. Tom Izzo was there because he was a local kid. And if you're Tom, you just go, what else do I have to do right now? And if he does happen to be going college, I want to make sure we keep him in state. But like, John Calipari wasn't there watching Imani Bates. So Mike Krzyzewski wasn't there watching Imani Bates because people just didn't think he was going to play college basketball. But given the lack of movement on the one-and-done rule and the incredible movement on name, image, and likeness rights, that combination makes it, again, a likely scenario that Imani Bates is inside the Breslin Center in a couple of years. And, you know, he'll be the biggest thing in college basketball because he's already the biggest thing in high school basketball. Again, to make sure people understand how special of a talent he is, as a sophomore in high school this past season, he was named the Gatorade National Player of the Year. He is the first ever sophomore, the youngest person ever to win that award.
You mentioned the wording. I can't remember exactly what the wording was, but the wording on the video of the commitment was very specific, it felt like, at least. It was a hedge in terms of if I don't play college basketball. To me, it sounded like that, at least. You say he has a better chance of playing college ball than the NBA because of all the changes. But let me ask you this. If he does play college ball, it's pretty early to commit to a school if you're him. Most of the big-time talents will commit really late in the process to whatever school they choose to go to. Do you think that there's any opportunity, or is Michigan State so firm here that it's just because they've been to all these games, like you said, and the other schools have not? It just seems pretty early, and we've seen a lot of these kids flip later on in their high school career. Do you think that's a possibility?
Oh, I do think if he plays college basketball, he will play at Michigan State. I'm not certain he'll play college basketball, but of course I would leave open the possibility that he could flip to Kentucky or Duke or anywhere else. I mean, this is the highest stakes recruitment. And, as we know, a lot of factors can come into play there. And so yesterday was a good day for Michigan State. If you're Tom Izzo or anybody on that staff, you feel good about what happened. But is it over? Of course it's not over. It's not over until the day he enrolls and steps foot on campus. And so, there's an old cliche in recruiting where coaches say, when somebody commits this early, all that does is show me who I got to beat now. It doesn't mean that the recruitment is over. Like, okay, now if we're going to go try to get Amani Bates to flip, we're going to have to go beat Michigan State for him. But, I think it's an unlikely scenario. Again, if he plays college basketball, I think he'll play his home games in the Breslin Center. But is it over? No. These things are never over until they're actually over.
I want to switch topics here real quick. You are a Mississippi native. I'm
true.
Sure you talked about this already, but what do you make of the flag coming down?
Long time coming, way overdue, but glad that it finally happened and that we finally got to this point. As I've said many times, listen, I was raised in Mississippi. I still live in Mississippi. You know, my wife is from Mississippi. She's an Ole Miss graduate. We got enough things to be embarrassed about in this state. You know, whether it's our illiteracy rates or poverty rates or teen pregnancy rates, we don't need a flag serving as a big, prominent other thing to be embarrassed about. And yet we've had it for more than a century. And I know there was a vote back in 2001. It was put on the ballot, do you want it or not? And the majority of Mississippians wanted to keep it. And though I'm not sure that would still be the case today, especially today being late June 2020 in a country that's changed so much over the past couple of months, but I also, don't care whether the average Mississippian would want to keep that flag. Like, the average Mississippian should just, shut the F up on this one and let the smart people, the responsible, reasonable people make a decision. Like, that is what a state legislature is there to do. You elect these people, then they make decisions for your state. And ultimately on Sunday, in a pretty overwhelming manner, they made a positive, intelligent, productive decision. And I do think that the NCAA and SEC putting pressure on them helped. I do think that Kylin Hill making a very public stance helped. I do think that the governor, who has expressed his support for that flag in the past, not saying he wanted the flag to come down, but expressing over the weekend that if the legislature sends him a bill, he will sign it as opposed to veto it, I think that helped. And it was just one thing after another stacking on top of each other that led to something that is a good day for Mississippi. You know, I guess the official vote came down 2 days ago on Sunday, and that Sunday was a historic and positive day for the state of Mississippi. When you grow up here, particularly when you view the world through my eyes, there's a lot of things that you sort of roll your eyes at, and yet Sunday provided a day to be proud. And I mean that sincerely. Like I said yesterday on my show, I don't want to overstate it, be overdramatic. It's not like I saw the vote come down and then shed a tear. I didn't. But was it a moment to be proud, to recognize progress? Sure. We still have a long, long ways to go, but that's undeniably a step in the right direction.
I remember listening to you and Jeff when this thing was trending, or at least there was some momentum, okay, let's get this flag changed, talking about how it's probably not something that can happen very quickly. It usually is a tedious process for something, you know, that has to go through a bunch of different bodies and, you know, people and votes and whatnot. Are you surprised it happened so quickly?
Yeah, I was wrong. I mean, it was a week ago on this show in this segment where Jeff asked me, is that flag going to be down before the start of college football season? Because Kylin Hill is on record saying he's not playing for Mississippi State unless it is. And I said, I assume that if he's going to, you know, stick to his word, he's going to have to enter the transfer portal, because I don't envision the flag being down before the start of football. And yet less than a week later, the state legislator had sent a bill to the governor saying, we're going to replace this flag. And so, yeah, it's one of the rare places where I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah.
I was surprised that it happened so quickly, but I do think it's a testament to the times we're living in right now. Like, the country we are walking around in today is a different country than it was the day before Memorial Day. That is undeniable, and it is obvious in like what feels like a million different ways. And I think the Mississippi State Legislature moving so quickly on that flag is a byproduct of these times. You know, just think about everything that's happened in this country in the past month, you know, from NASCAR banning the Confederate flag to Mississippi changing its state flag to the Big East. And I'm just talking in sports here, already committing to put Black Lives Matter patches on their basketball jerseys this season. To the NBA, it was reported yesterday, at Disney World, we'll have Black Lives Matter. You know, when you're looking inside FedEx Forum at a Grizzlies court, it might say Memphis on one side, Grizzlies on the other, or whatever it says. I don't have the image in front of me. But those baselines will not be filled with NBA or Lakers or Clippers or Grizzlies. It'll say Black Lives Matter on both baselines on all three courts. I mean, this is not something that would have happened before the murder of George Floyd. But that incident combined with other things pushed forward by the protest has led to all of this stuff. And it's a really remarkable time to live through. I think obviously we're dealing with a pandemic as well, so everything is complicated. But I do think that, my children or their children will be in school someday, and it'll be American history class. And what we are living through right now is going to be a big part of what they learn, I hope.
Right. I don't think there's any question that there's a ton of positive momentum right now in terms of making change. And the other thing that the NBA mentioned was that they could let players change their last names on their uniform to make a statement. Ja Morant shared something on Instagram that featured a curse word and his number combined together. And then he issued an apology / a statement on that. I know you've touched on this too, but can you just repeat your thoughts on what you thought about that? I thought it was a really well-done statement.
Yeah, I thought he handled it well. You know, sometimes all of us, but especially a 20-year-old with 3 million Instagram followers, you're going to have some missteps if you're active on social media. And like I talked about yesterday on my show, there are times when I tweet something or put something on Facebook, I know what the reaction is going to be. I can usually tell you exactly who's going to react the way that they react. I can tell you 10 people who are going to like it immediately, and I can tell you 5 people who are going to hate it immediately. Like at this point, if you got even a little bit of a brain, you've got a proper grasp for that.
And, dude, but you have crazy people in your mentions. You do. Sure.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
You got crazy
you have
people,
the craziest
man.
Ones.
You got all the crazies.
there's something else. You know, I don't pay attention to the folks who don't put their real name on it, because it's like, yeah, I don't even know if that's a real person. And if it is a real person, they're not proud enough of their opinions to put their actual name on it. So I don't have much use for them. But, like, the actual, like, real people, like, you can look them up, like Lloyd, you know? Like, those are the ones that scare me because I just can't get my head around the idea that you actually believe what you believe, that you actually think what you type. But they're there, absolutely, and Facebook feels like it's got more of them. And Facebook's even worse because those are people I actually know. Like,
oh,
I
I'm off Facebook. I don't even use Facebook. Screw Facebook. I'm out on that.
Like I might be at a cookout with these people, and I'm looking at what they're putting on Facebook, and I'm like, well, I don't even know if I ever liked them to begin with, but now I know I don't want to be around them. Like, and it's not just the difference of opinions. It's just, like, nonsense. It's just, like, well, I don't think wearing a mask helps. Well, every doctor says wearing a mask helps. Every single doctor. And yet you are something well short of a doctor. Why do you think you know more than the doctors? Like, when I see that, I mean, there are real people. I don't know that I call them friends as much as I call them acquaintances. But, like, they're people I know. They're people I'd, like, sat around a house with and had a drink. And they'll type on Facebook, well, I just don't think the mask matters. Well, then you're an idiot, all right? I mean, there's no nicer way to say it. When every doctor is telling you the masks matter, for you to be a whoever you are, I don't want to say any sort of career because I don't want to, you know, discount anybody's profession, but, like, you're not a doctor, okay? So, like, let's just trust the doctors on whether or not masks matter, not you. But anyway, yes, the crazies are out there. My point, circling back to John Morant, is that even if you have a good grasp for how things are usually going to play, every once in a while, something's going to miss the mark. Like, you're immediately going to get pushback in a way that you just didn't anticipate. And it happened to me a few weeks ago, and I thought what I tweeted was something cute. It had my little three-year-old in it. And most people interpreted it the same way I did. Like, they saw it and they laughed at the same parts I laughed at. But then there was some pushback as well, and I just said, ugh, I didn't think that would happen, and I just deleted it because I was trying to spend time with my family. I wasn't going to sit there and deal with that all night long. But it was a place where I didn't properly convey the message I was trying to convey, or at least I didn't properly, and maybe it's on me. I can acknowledge that. Maybe I had a blind spot for what the reaction would be. And I think Ja, just same thing, to a different degree, because he's got 3 million Instagram followers. Like, the message he wanted to convey is a good message. But the way he conveyed it, people were able to take it and twist it into what they wanted it to be. And so what he had to come back and do, and I thought he did it really well, is say, I shouldn't have used that image because it was misinterpreted by some. So let me tell you exactly what I meant by that. What I meant is that we need to rid ourselves of bad police. We need good police to hold bad police responsible. But the idea that I'm not appreciative of the great police who helped me when I was in school at Murray State, or the incredible, you know, law enforcement officials who continue to look after me now that I'm with the Grizzlies, of course I appreciate those people and know that they're good people. I'm strictly talking about the bad people that have been doing this job wrongly for far too long. And once you clarify it in the way that he did, unless you're just, you know, arguing for the sake of arguing, you have to, at least I think, you have to respect that. Ultimately, his bottom line message was, we need bad cops to go and good cops to hold bad cops accountable. Well, like, who's against that? Who wants to argue the other side of, we want bad cops to go and good cops to hold bad cops accountable? So if you can't accept his clarification and move on, then that says more about you than it does John Morant.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought it was a really well-done statement, too. Back to the mask thing, though, what you said about the doctors and every doctor thinking you should wear a mask. I wish everybody could have the experience of me, who went to school thinking I was going to be a doctor and miserably failed out of all of my freshman science classes and realized really quickly I'm not even close to smart enough to be a doctor. It's really not that hard. And so, you know, Johnny, who's cuts grass or whatever, I don't know. I'm just, again, you don't want to nail down somebody's profession. But
right.
It's just crazy to me to think that you really do think you know more than the person that took all of those classes and learned all these years to figure out exactly what's going on here, you think you know more than them. It's just crazy. That's just insane.
We have one doctor after another going on television or being quoted in any, you know, major publication, not only telling you mask help, but explaining to you why they do with incredible detail. And yet you will really, I can go on Facebook right now and find people that I'm, quote, friends with, whether I'm actually friends with them or not, and they would be arguing against that. They say, I don't think mask help. It'd be like saying, you know, I don't think condoms help. What do you mean you don't think condoms help? I'll respect this. I don't want to wear a condom because, like, I just don't want to. Like, okay, but, like, when you get pregnant or a disease, like, that's on you. But, like, I can nod my head if you say, well, I know condoms make sex safer and prevent pregnancies, but I still don't want to wear one in this instance. I'm like, okay, well, like, you know, good luck. But, like, if you say I don't think condoms help, well, that's just a stupid thing to say. And if you say I don't think masks help or I don't think masks matter, I was going to say with all due respect, but actually I have no respect. I say it with no respect whatsoever. That's just a stupid thing to say. You're repeating stupid things that your stupid friend told you in some form.
So now on the show today, we've talked about condoms, dildos, and dogs getting knocked out.
Yeah.
So
welcome to June during a pandemic.
We're off to a really hot start here. Did you hear Jeff talking about getting his dog knocked up this morning? Did you get a chance to listen to that?
Thankfully, I missed that.
It is the absolute most ridiculous thing I might have ever heard, ever. I didn't know that Jeff was like this dog breeder. That's like fascinating to me. You know him better than I do. You've been around him. Is dog breeder the most interesting thing about Jeff Calkins?
There's a list of things connected to Jeff. There's a list of things connected to most people. But I will say, breeding dogs seems like a hard way to make money. I'd maybe try to do some more live reads for Cooper Systems before I started breeding dogs or having big giant dogs running all over my house.
Yeah.
Like we have a little dog and I love her to pieces and I would not have her. And when she's not here someday, we will have another. But I ain't trying to have six giant dogs running out of my house. Or people who like have, you know, seven cats, like that just doesn't make any sense to me. Like I got a wife, three kids, one dog. That feels like plenty. Sometimes feels like too much, but it's certainly enough. And so I don't quite comprehend, overwhelming your home with animals. But you know, in fairness, I don't need to understand everything. It's not my house; it's his.
Well, the last time that he got his dog knocked up and then the dog had puppies, it was right during the middle of a Grizzlies postseason run and they made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Does this clearly it does, but does this mean that the Grizzlies are now headed to the Western Conference Finals?
I think that's what they call a coincidence more than anything else.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, if you are ever going to try to make an improbable run to somewhere, this is obviously the time to do it. I mean, we've known for a while in the NBA that the playoffs are often determined by injuries. Like, you know, everybody, you know, celebrates the Raptors championship last year and Kawhi was awesome and good for that franchise. But like, if KD doesn't get hurt and Klay Thompson doesn't get hurt, I mean, are the Raptors really the world champions? I personally do not think so. Like when the Grizzlies went to the Western Conference Finals, go back and look at it. They benefited from star players on other teams not being available. And so, if you acknowledge that that often happens in the NBA, and then you add the variable that is COVID-19, I mean, a seven-game series against the Lakers in the first round, I'll take the Lakers in four or five every time. But what if LeBron James and Anthony Davis test positive for COVID-19, you know, 20 minutes before game two? Well, now they're out for the whole series. Okay, Kyle Kuzma, let's see what you got. So I really do think that, the bubble will, I believe, minimize the risk of infection. But, you know, the Disney workers going home every night, home being somewhere in the state of Florida, which is spiking like crazy right now, it defies logic to think that that virus isn't going to be brought into that bubble by a Disney worker in some form. And it doesn't necessarily mean that worker will spread it, but it means that it's possible. And so I don't think you can rule anything out. And I don't think it's a stretch to suggest that whoever holds the 2020 trophy as an NBA champion might be holding it because somebody along their path to that moment tested positive for COVID-19 and was ruled out.
Thanks, GP.
All right, I'll see you.
All right, when I come back, we'll continue the Grizzlies conversation with Chris Harrington. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say, play 92.9 ESPN.
The winner of Adweek's Creative Podcast of the Year returns.
Film is a hobby, not a career.
I know, Dad.
Blockbuster, the story of James Cameron.
James Cameron.
What, me? No.
A movie for your ears.
This isn't what I envisioned.
This is my profession.
It's my movie.
Jim, this line,
huh?
It should be more like a machine. I will be back.
About the world's most ambitious filmmaker.
Leo, just say, I'm the king of the world.
What? Why would I yell that?
Whoa, we're still dropping.
I got it, Jim.
We're gonna crash. Holy, talk to me.
I got it, Jim.
You don't got it.
I got it.
What do we do?
It has to be perfect.
Blockbuster. Listen now on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever.
Today, your McDonald's order could be more than an order. It could be the first meal you've enjoyed back inside your favorite Mickey D's. It could be a quick bite after getting a fresh cut from a real barber. Or it could be your way of getting back to feeling like yourself again. Whatever this order is, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Enjoy some of your morning favorites, like a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, or sausage McGriddles for just $1 each. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities.
Yeah, we're all busy with important things to do. But don't forget, it's also important to laugh. Laughing keeps you sane. So for your sanity's sake, check out Comedy Now on radio.com.
After college, I moved into my own apartment. It's near where my parents live. It's across the hallway.
Comedy Now plays nonstop stand-up comedy from the best comedians in America.
I'll tell you what place I like on the plane is that little bathroom. It's like your own little apartment on the plane.
Listen to Comedy Now anytime on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
Reaching out to a friend about their mental health can feel awkward, which is why it helps to have something to break the ice. You could go for a walk or grab a slice of pizza. And if you're not driving, you could even use this commercial break to text them. See? That was easy. Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Find more ways to help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Join music superstar Becky G Thursday, July 2nd, live for the 2020 Census Concerts That Count. The Census helps inform where billions in funding go for each year, from health clinics to highways, school programs, and more. That's why an accurate count is so crucial. Take the census now. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Join Becky G's live performance with appearances by sports greats Marvin Jones Jr. and J.J. Barea on July 2nd, 6 p.m. Eastern.
It's no crime to love true crime. In fact, you're not alone with your fascination for murder and mayhem. That's why the Radio.com app has a wide range of true crime at your fingertips, like the popular podcasts Up and Vanished, The Clearing, Most Notorious, Southern Fried True Crime, and so much more. All available 24/7 and all just a click away. When it comes to true crime, Radio.com has it locked up. Radio.com, on your desktop or download the free app now.
Thankfully, our city is beginning to open back up. Meanwhile, we're putting more demands on our personal computers. So, if you find that your computer just isn't cutting it, then you need Cooper Systems. Cooper Systems continues to provide a safe, clean environment, maintaining high standards to keep your health and well-being top of mind. You all need the right equipment that works just as fast as you do. Whether it's a new computer, a new printer, or you just need to update your current operating system, Cooper Systems has just what you need for about half the price of the Apple or big box stores. Just tell Lee and Lauren Cooper what work you're doing, and they can set you up with the perfectly matched computer system to help make you as productive and efficient as possible. For decades, Cooper Systems has served the computer needs of Mid-Southerners, and they're here for you today. Work effectively and efficiently, all at a fair price with Cooper Systems. They offer in-store diagnostics and computer repair, too. Call Cooper Systems at 360-9679 or visit coopersystems.com.
He is the great PJ Carlissimo.
The team that I would be most concerned with, it would be Portland, but you can't control that. The eight games are the only thing that Memphis can control. And frankly, this is great experience. I know Taylor and his team and your fans don't want to hear this, but no matter what, this is a great experience, and this is going to help this young team.
The home of the Jason and John Show. Weekdays, 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN is the Mid-South smart speaker station. Just say, play 92.9 ESPN.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves World Championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and Health Department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at memphisbbqco.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.